So as a first-time guest, I like a little background. So where do you hail from? Where did you do your undergrad? How long you been with Rip City Radio? Give us a little Brendan Slaughter insight.
Yeah, of course. So, I was born here in Portland, Oregon, graduated from Sherwood High School, did my undergrad at Oregon State, been with Rip City Radio for about 2 years now, 2.5 years, and loving every minute of it. Been able to be lucky enough to cover Oregon State football from when I started college all the way until now, and enjoy the heck out of that, too. So it's a pretty good balance between getting the dose of Rip City Radio and Oregon State, for sure. It's a good life.
So living and working, being from Portland, I know there's nothing bigger than the Blazers, but you're also kind of close to the Seattle teams. You got Oregon, Oregon State. So if you had to kind of create a Portland sports hierarchy beyond the Blazers, you know, fans you hear from, topics on the radio, you know, who would be after the Blazers, like the top two or three teams, whether it's the Mariners, whether it's Duck football, Oregon State basketball. I'm always curious about kind of the pulse of your city.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I'd say the Blazers are definitely king, kind of as you said, and everything else kind of falls after that. I'd say there's a pretty equal interest, you know, probably Oregon football would probably be next, and then you got Oregon State football in there too. I know Portland's got a big contingent of Timbers fans as well, you know, love their soccer in the city as well. And then obviously the Seahawks, very big deal here in town with Portland not having a football team, so you got a lot of 12s around here for sure. It definitely makes for a Portland's a very unique sports city for the fact that it only has the Trailblazers, and then you kind of pick and choose from there with your college teams and so on and so forth.
Talking with Brendan Slaughter, Beaver's Edge. Obviously, talking about the Blazers, the season ended in very disappointing fashion. Then there was the insane people who actually thought Lillard was leaving. So now you got a new coach. They re-up Norman Powell, Larry Nance, Cody Zeller. So what's kind of the buzz? How optimistic are fans about the season, which is only about a month away?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It feels like, you know, the season just ended, but, you know, it is a little more of a compressed offseason, kind of getting back to that normal schedule this year. And, yeah, I mean, the pulse of the fan base, I think they're probably a little disappointed, maybe, you know, quote-unquote, the big trade, you know, that they've been, you know, clamoring for behind the scenes never happened. But I thought the tertiary moves were great. You know, the Blazers were in a position where they had to re-sign Norman Powell, you know, kind of a get him or lose him kind of a thing with the bird rights and whatnot. So I thought that was a great move. And then the underrated move of signing or trading for Larry Nance, I think that's going to boost the team's overall defensive output. So I know fans are pretty excited about that. And then just here in the last couple of days, just kind of getting some snippets out of, you know, workouts and whatnot, and learning more about Chauncey Billups and kind of the culture that he's, you know, in kind of building, and talking about the more of an emphasis on the defensive end of the floor. I think there's some optimism and, you know, some excitement, and I think, you know, some change in personnel and a new coaching staff, you know, kind of gave this Blazers team a much needed fresh look.
Let's get to the Beavs. Folks I speak with at the Pac-12 Network, they all talk so highly about the direction Jonathan Smith has them headed. So, basic point of view, safe to say, considering the absolute train wreck he inherited, this now looks more like a Pac-12 roster. Brendan, it just seems like there's just way more talent now than they have in recent years, and hope that they could snap this bowl drought.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on point. You know, I really do think this team is close. I don't think it's out of the question still for this team to make a bowl game this year. I still think that's very much within reach. You know, I expect the Beavers to, you know, exit non-conference play 2-1, and I think that gives them a shot. You know, and as far as, you know, Jonathan Smith and what he's had to work with, I mean, Steve, you said it best. I mean, it was rough, you know, when Jonathan Smith came in. I mean, you're talking about, you know, big-time deficiencies in several position groups, and I think, you know, the time that it took to kind of get those recruiting cycles through and kind of find guys that fit the Smith vision, you know, And then you toss in the fact that 2020 was the COVID year that it was. And I think it kind of, you know, threw the rebuild into a little bit of kind of a cycle of sorts. And, you know, I think this year is good because we're starting to see that progression, that next step's already started to be taken. And, you know, for me, just the most impressive part so far this year is that for the first time in Jonathan Smith's tenure, I'm liking what I'm seeing from the defensive side of the ball, even just in small spots, and I think that's a huge improvement.
Talking Beavs football, Brendan Slaughter, Beavers Edge. Coming in, I kind of figured the quarterback job might be leaning Jebbia, but some injury issues. Then you had Sam Neuer, the transfer in there, but then after he came in relief, Chance Nolan last week, accurate, mistake-free, responded to every rainbow challenge. So is this still an ongoing competition, or are you thinking Smith now is like, yeah, Chance Nolan is our starter?
Yeah, I'm thinking that Chance, it's going to be really tough to take the job away from Chance Nolan. Smith, you know, kind of said as much after the Hawaii game in the post-game press conference. And you're kind of right to kind of have that mindset with Jebbia and Neuer. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I mean, just to be blunt, I mean, coming out of fall camp, I had him as pegged as the number three quarterback in Chance Nolan. I had Sam Neuer as who I expected to start, and Jebbia, if healthy, to back him up. And, you know, obviously Sam Neuer had that, you know, slow and kind of off game against Purdue, and, you know, Chance Nolan took the reins from there. And I really think, Steve, it could be one of those positions where the backup doesn't give the job back just with how steady his play has been. And you've seen just how much better in rhythm the Oregon State offense has looked with him at the helm. Against Hawaii, he started, you know, 13-13, you know, as a passer, and just seeing kind of that efficiency, more points being put on the board, a more fluid offense compared to the Purdue game that was kind of choppy. So I think, you know, they're probably going to commit to Nolan as their starter, you know, at least, you know, through this week and probably into the USC game and see what happens from there.
One issue you knew was coming up with Jamar Jefferson gone to the NFL, who's going to run the ball at Purdue. They didn't run well at all. But against Hawaii, B.J. Baylor showed some flash in recent years. What about his performance against the Bows and revealing some explosiveness?
Yeah, you know, B.J. Baylor's kind of been that guy that's just kind of been biding his time and, you know, really, really being patient with getting his opportunities. And, you know, even heading into this year, you know, he kind of had the opportunity going into the year to be the lead back. But the Beavers, you know, have Trey Lowe back there and also brought in South Carolina transfer Deshaun Fenwick to compete for that job as well. So it certainly wasn't handed to Baylor by any means, but you really just have to be impressed with the way that he's kind of seized the reins. I mean, a couple touchdowns against Purdue. I know the yards weren't there, but the running game, you know, kind of was choppy. And then this last week against Hawaii, 3 touchdowns and I believe a 181 on the ground. Just a very impressive performance. You saw, you know, that his long touchdown run was able to kind of showcase the speed. The vision was there as a ball carrier. Would like to see him, you know, get a little tighter in pass protection. But for the most part, I think he's kind of put himself in a position to kind of be that go-to guy, at least for now. And, you know, with that being said, I think the Beavers will ride the hot hand at that position between those three guys. But Baylor certainly has been the hot guy to start the year, for sure.
This offensive line, Brendan, is kind of a rarity. I mean, if you look who ended the season on the depth chart, it's the same 5 who've started the first couple games this season. I mean, their left tackle, Joshua Gray, who was a redshirt, All-Pac-12 second team last year. What about the capability of this line, you know, with such an outstanding coach as Jim Mihalchek?
You know, it's interesting because that was one of the aspects of the Purdue game that surprised me so much, is that the offensive line play, particularly the pass blocking and even if I can say the run blocking, was so shaky at best. And that's just so out of the norm for a Jim Mihalchek coach group. And that's why this last week against Hawaii was so great to see, you know, just from a cohesion perspective, because as you mentioned, from 5 guys that have, you know, a year of starting experience and several guys on that line who have a ton of just football playing experience, you know, it really is one of the more experienced and, you know, more talented lines in the conference. You know, it's when they're, you know, playing to their full potential. And I think we've kind of saw in week one, they weren't, you know, kind of at that level. You know, the coaching staff kind of challenged them a little bit. They improved against Hawaii. And as we've seen each and every year for Smith, you know, these offensive lines seem to get a little stronger as the year goes on, kind of contrary to what you'd expect. So I really do think the best times are ahead for that group still.
A couple final thoughts, Brendan Slaughter, Beaver's Edge. You wrote about the defense and your five takeaways from the Hawaii game. After the quick second-half TD run by Baylor, you know, they kind of look locked and loaded up 31-7. And as you said, maybe eased up a little bit. What do the coaches and players have to say about giving up all those second-half points and yards instead of just putting the Rainbows away?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because, you know, when Oregon State went up that, you certainly kind of felt like the game was in hand. And you know, at least from what I've been able to gather from the coaching staff and whatnot, they gave Hawaii credit. You know, Hawaii was able to convert a lot of third downs. And you know, that's kind of been an Achilles heel for the Oregon State defense for a little while, where they'd get, you know, consistent stops, you know, defensively on first and second down. That third down defense, still something that's coming along. And Hawaii's quarterback Cordero was obviously very mobile and, you know, could make a lot of plays happen, a lot of, you know, off script kind of plays that could, you know, involve receivers running all the way around. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think Hawaii's offense was, you know, it deserves respect. I think Todd Graham had some good things there, but at the end of the day, I don't think Hawaii's defense was going to be able to slow down Oregon State. So, you know, the Beavers, as the game kind of went on, once Hawaii was able to score, you saw Oregon State add a couple insurance touchdowns, and it was, you know, good from there. But I'm sure the defense would like to tighten up before Idaho and kind of, you know, fine-tune their abilities heading into Pac-12 play.
Yeah, more on the D. The last thing I want to talk about, Avery Roberts, who actually started his college career playing for Mike Riley at Nebraska, had a big 2020. He was the leading tackler in the conference. Hell, he had 21 against Utah. What could you tell us about the kind of player he is, you know, making plays all over the field as one of the leaders of the OSU D?
Yeah, he's just he's the epitome of what you want a good leader to be on your defense. I mean, ever since he came here, you know, the expectation was that he was going to, you know, slot in at that inside linebacker spot and kind of be, you know, kind of that leader. I mean, he was kind of preached, you know, by the coaching staff as someone they were really high on. You saw him immediately gain the respect of his teammates. You know, he's a great guy, you know, on and off the field. He's, you know, awesome to talk to and interview. And you know, his talent is evident. I mean, he's got what I like to call stopping power. You know, he can, you know, really deliver the lumber, you know, as an inside linebacker. He's smart, intuitive, and, you know, I think, you know, this year is just another year for him to kind of continue to grow. And, you know, it's like, as you mentioned, it's kind of funny to think that he started, you know, with Mike Riley at Nebraska, but, you know, it's funny where everyone always ends up, you know.
Yeah, folks, he's Brendan Slaughter. He puts up with our pal Justin Myers weekdays, mornings on Rip City Radio. He keeps you wired into Oregon State football. Check out beaversedge.com on Twitter. His handle is at @B_Slaught. Brendan, great having you on. Really appreciate the time. May you continue to be well, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for the offer, and look forward to jumping on with you again soon.
All right, take it easy.